Our scripture reading this evening is found in the book of Revelation and chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ and chapter 1. As Revelation, the book that is found at the end of our Bibles, it is probably the last book that was given. And he's a book that sums up and points us to what is to come. So the revelation of Jesus Christ and chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word, the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. May God bless the reading of his word. Our text this evening is found in the portion of scripture that we read, the first chapter of the revelation of Jesus Christ And verses 17 and 18, our Lord's introduction of himself to John. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And we see here the risen Christ speaking to the beloved disciple on the Isle of Patmos. Now, we know from the text that John was an exile in Patmos. He had been packed off there, and he was there on this island, quite possibly exiled to the mines, or at the very least, under a form of house arrest. He could not leave the island. He may very well have felt that there was so much he could have accomplished, but if only he could leave the island. And yet it was there that the risen Christ met with him. And here we are reminded again that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just a past event, it is that, but it's also a present reality. This same Jesus is the man who died on Calvary, who rose again from the dead. He is alive, he is risen. And we see here in these words of Christ three central facts that we need always to remember. First of all, we see his deity. He is God. Secondly, we see his humanity. He is man. And thirdly, we see his authority. He is Lord. And so we have his deity, his humanity, and his authority. And first of all, his deity. Jesus is God. Do not be afraid, he said. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives. Or in other translations put it, the living one. And these are declarations that he is God. He's not just another man. This is God himself. He begins with those words, I am. John's gospel contains various I am sayings, as when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. As when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here we have another I am saying in a writing that was penned by the Apostle John. I am the first and the last. And we do not skate over those words, I am. It's two words in the Greek as well as two words in the English. I am. Which points us back all the way to the book of Exodus. When Moses asked the God who appeared to him in the burning bush, whom shall I say sent me? And God replied, tell the people, I am has sent you. I am, Jesus said. And he tells his hearers in the book of John, in John's Gospel, he says, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Jesus lays claim to be the great I am. And it's that idea of the one who is, that is the root, most likely, of the name Yahweh, the covenant name of God. I am, he says. Jesus says, I am. And he says, I am the first and the last. I am. And again we read how it was that John records that he heard the voice, as naturally we do when we hear a voice, to see who spoke with him. And he sees this terrifying vision of the glory of Christ. One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and going about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine and brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had it in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He sees the glory of Christ in a vision. This glory that leads him to fall down. And again, we are expected here to know our Bibles. We are expected to think back to Isaiah's great call. When Isaiah was called in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings, with 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. A vision of the glory of God. And John himself had written of that same vision. He alludes to it in his Gospel, chapter 12, quoting from Isaiah 6. He writes in verse 41, having quoted, "These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory," that is Christ's glory, "and spoke of him," that is Christ. In the context, he sees the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Christ exalted on high, the great I Am. The one who says, "I am he, I am the first and the last." He is the first and the last. And again, this is a reference back to the book of Isaiah. This is a reference to the fact that Jesus is God himself. Isaiah chapter 44. God speaks of himself. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me there is no God, and who can proclaim as I do?" This is where God is asserting that he is God, and the gods of the nations are but idols. And now Jesus says, "I am the first and the last." He is the one true God, God over all. And again he says, "I am he who lives." He who lives. Are we not reminded of what John had written at the beginning of his gospel, when he writes of the eternal Word? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." "I am the living one," Jesus says. Now again, only God can say, in this sense, that he is the living one who has life in himself. Everybody else, every other being in the universe has life from God. Not life from ourselves, as the psalmist puts it, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We must confess that of God. But God has life in Himself. He is the living one. Jesus Christ is God. And this vision here in the Revelation emphasizes this. It prints that fact on our consciousness, and unless we are committed to some false teaching, some idea dreamt up by man, we must confess on reading this, the one speaking here is God. It is God who speaks. I am He who lives, he says. So He is God, His deity, but secondly, His humanity. And was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Now, God cannot die. Why is that? Well, what is death? What is death? It's an important question to ponder, because you may very well get a Muslim come up to you and say, well, when Jesus died, who was running the universe? Those of us who know the Jehovah's Witnesses, we know what they think death is. And the Jehovah's Witnesses think death is a cessation of existence. To die, they say, falsely, is to cease to be. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that death is the severing of body and soul. We as human beings are, to use a technical term, we are complex beings. That's to say, there's more than one part to us. And in the grand scheme of things, what's important is that there is a physical part and a spiritual part that are united. That's why we live, because they are united. But death is when that union is broken, and the body is laid in the ground, and the spirit returns to God who gave it, who made it. That is death. Now, God is not a complex being in that sense. God is spirit, and that's all. God is spirit. And therefore, Jesus says, those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But God is spirit. There is no physical part to God. And so God cannot be broken up. In that sense, again to use a technical word, God is simple, not complex. Not to say that God is not the most impossible being for us to comprehend, because He is so great and glorious, but that God's being is one. There is one being of God, and it cannot be broken up. And so God cannot die, but we can die. And so Jesus says that He became dead. He became dead because He had first become man. Here is one who is seen to be God in all His glory. He who is God beyond all praising, all for love's sake, became as man. And here is our God become a man. The incarnation is absolutely central to Christianity. Christ was born. He was a real man. He is a real man. And that's the point here. He says, I am He who lives and was dead. And to become dead, He first had to become man. The incarnation, God with us, God in human nature. The one, the man who said to His disciples, whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. Whoever has fellowship with Jesus Christ has fellowship with the Father. And whoever doesn't have fellowship with Jesus Christ doesn't have the Father. This wondrous man of whom we tell is true, Almighty God, Hart puts it. And he's a man. There is a man in the glory. The one who reaches out now to John says, I am he who lives and was dead. He is the Lord, we may say, the Lord who came to die. Again, we find in John's Gospel, something of this is mentioned in our Lord's words as he speaks to the Father in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 27, he says, Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. That is the purpose of offering himself an atonement for sin, of dying for us. I am he who lives and was dead. And therefore the apostle can speak of the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. And the reality of Christ's humanity. That Christ is a man. A real man. He's not God pretending to be a man. He's not God dressed up as a man. He is God become man. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. That's to say, we can't wrap our heads around how, but it's true. Jesus is a man. He remains a man. The human nature wasn't something taken into union with the divine nature just for a time. But he, this one with his divine glory who appears to John, says, I became dead. He can say, I died. And that union is such that there is one person who is both God and man. And so it's quite right to say that on the cross, God died. Not that the divine nature died, that's impossible. But that one who is both God and man died because he is truly man. And since he is also truly God, and when he says I, he does not have a split personality. Jesus has one personality. We may say God died for us, and therefore we can sing amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? We can speak of when God the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. We look at the cross, we remember who it was who died. It is my God crucified for me. We come to the Lord's table, we remember that one who is truly God became truly man and offered himself for us, for our salvation. And he is always a man now. There was a time before the incarnation when the second person of the Trinity, the Eternal Son, was not a man. But there never was a time when he was not, when he was not God. But there came a time when he became man, but there will never be a time when he ceases to be man. That human heart he still retains, though throned in highest bliss, and feels each tempted member's pains, for our afflictions his. We come to Christ, you see. to Christ who knows what it is to be man because he is man. To Christ who knows the struggles, the trials of our lives because he has felt the same. He shares in our humanity. He shares in both our joy and our sorrow. He is man, fully man. He knew what it was like to grow up in Nazareth, to know the birth of his brothers and sisters, to welcome these new members of his family. He knew what it was like to lose Joseph, the man who cared for him. He knew what it was like to bear the scorn and the hatred of men. He knew what it was like to have his own family members say of him, he's crazy. He knows our sorrows. He knows our gladness. He is man. True man. And he is true God. We remember his humanity, and so we can come to him knowing that he shares that humanity, that he is made like unto us, but without sin. He is man. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He is risen from the dead, no more to die. He lives. And it's a marvel that we note, behold, it's no marvel to say of any human being that he became dead. But it's a marvel and a wonder to say of this man, Christ Jesus, that he became dead, but now he's alive forevermore. Forevermore. And therefore he is the Saviour. And so we come thirdly to his authority. I have the keys of Hades and of death, he says. Now, keys in the Bible, of course, are a symbol of authority. The one who had the keys is the one who can unlock the door, who can open up the door, who opened the life gate that we may go in, as we sang in that hymn. If you go into any of the old parish churches in England, you'll see these big boxes, these big iron-bound chests, normally made of oak. And you'll see that they have multiple keyholes on the front. And the keys will be held by the vicar and the church wardens. And those keys gave them the authority to deal with what was in the chest together. Jesus Christ says he and he alone has the keys of Hades and of death. Now Hades is the place of the dead. The old King James renders this hell, but that's not quite right, because we think of hell as the place of punishment. But the idea here is that the place where the dead are, where the paradise or Gehenna, hell as we put it, all that is in Jesus' authority. Where the dead are, that is his. Now you say, how does that differ from having the keys of death? It doesn't. The point is that this is saying the same thing in two different ways, which in biblical language is a way of emphasizing the point. It's that all authority over death belongs to Jesus. It's not that he has some of the authority, but he has all the authority. He is, after all, the only one who has come back from the dead, the one who is alive forevermore. And he says he has full authority over death. He doesn't share it with anybody else. He has been given that authority. All authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus says, has been given unto me. And of course, heaven and earth is the Hebrew way of referring to the universe. All authority in the universe, Jesus says, is given unto me. And he has power, he tells us here, over death. So he says, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He has authority. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he showed that authority by raising the dead during his ministry. And now he says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. He is mightier than death. He is the one who will raise his people up on the last day. So we have here the assurance that we can put all our trust in Jesus Christ, and that he has this authority for his people. We see him here among the seven lampstands, and what does he say about them? That they are the seven churches to whom he now will have this letter sent, this book sent, for whom this revelation exists. So he has this authority, he says, for his people, that he may raise them up at the last day. Again, in John chapter 6, he pictures his people as one great people and says, I will raise them up on the last day. He is the head of the church, and so he said to the apostle, do not be afraid, because all these things are for his people. He is God for us. He is God with us. The God-man. He is God with all power and authority over death for his people, that we may know that though we die, yet we shall live. Because it is the Father's will that of that which the Father has given the Son, he shall lose none of it, but raise it up on the last day. And so we hear the words of the risen Christ, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Praise his name. It is true. Amen.